Let's take a ride on a riverboat, you said.
Ace Jensen and his brother Chance backed away from a group of angry men stalking toward them across the deck.
It'll be fun, you said.
Well, I didn't count on this. How was I to know we'd wind up in such a mess of trouble?
When do we ever not wind up in trouble?
Yeah, you got a point there. Seems to have a way of finding us.
Their backs hit the railing along the edge of the deck. Behind them, the giant wooden blades of the side wheeler's paddle churned the muddy waters of the Missouri River. They were on the right side of the riverboat, the starboard side, Ace thought, then chided himself for allowing such an irrelevant detail to intrude on his brain at such a moment. And so far out in the middle of the stream that jumping overboard and swimming for shore wasn't practical. Besides, the brothers weren't in the habit of fleeing from trouble. If they started doing that, most likely they would never stop running. The man who was slightly in the forefront of the group confronting them pointed a finger at Chance.
All right, kid. I'll have that watch back now.
I'm not a kid. I'm a grown man. And so are you, so you shouldn't have bet the watch if you didn't want to take a chance on losing it.
The Jensen brothers were grown men, all right, but not by much. They were in their early 20s, and although they had knocked around the frontier all their lives, had faced all sorts of danger, and burned plenty of powder, there was still a certain innocence about them, for want of a better word. They still made their way through life with enthusiasm and an eagerness to embrace all the joy the world had to offer. They were twins, although that wasn't instantly apparent. They were fraternal rather than identical. Ace was taller, broader through the shoulders, and had black hair instead of his brother's sandy brown. He preferred range clothes, wearing jeans, a buckskin shirt, and a battered old Stetson, while Chance was much more dapper in a brown tweed suit, vest, white shirt, a fancy cravat with an ivory stick pin, and a straw planter's hat. Ace was armed with a Colt 45 Peacemaker with well-worn walnut grips that rode easily in a holster in his right hip. Chance didn't carry a visible gun, but he had a Smith & Wesson 38 caliber double-action second model revolver and a shoulder holster under his left arm. However, neither young man wanted to start a gunfight on the deck of the Missouri Belle. It was a tranquil summer night, and gunshots and spilled blood would just about ruin it. The leader of the group confronting him was an expensively dressed middle-aged man with a beefy, well-fed look about him.
Leland Stanford himself gave me that watch in appreciation for my help in getting the Transcontinental Railroad built. You know who Leland Stanford is, don't you? President of the Central Pacific Railroad?
Well, we heard him. Rich fella out California way. Used to be governor out there, didn't he?
That's right. And he's a good friend of mine. I'm a stockholder in the Central Pacific, in fact.
Oh, then likely you can afford to buy yourself another watch.
You mouthy little pup. Hand it over, or we'll throw the two of you right off of this boat.
I want it fair and square, mister. Doc Monday always says the cards know more about our fate than we do.
I don't know who in blazes Doc Monday is, but your fate is to take a beating and then a swim. Grab them, boys, but don't throw them overboard until I get my watch back.
The other four men rushed Ace and Chance, but their backs to the railing, they had nowhere to go. Doc Monday, the gambler who had raised the Jensen boys after their mother died in childbirth, had taught them many things, including the fact it was usually a mistake to wait for trouble to come to you. Better to go out and meet it head on. In other words, the best defense was the proverbial good offense. So, Ace and Chance met the charge with one of their own. Going low to tackle the nearest two men around the knees. The hired ruffians weren't expecting it, and the impact swept their legs out from under them. They fell under the feet of their onrushing companions, who stumbled and lost their balance, toppling onto the first two men. And suddenly there was a knot of flailing, punching, and kicking combatants on the deck. The floor had faced Ombre, who had foolishly wagered his watch during a poker game in the riverboat salon earlier, hopped around agitatedly.
Come on, boys, get him good!
Ace and Chance could more than hold their own. Ace got behind one of the men, looped an arm around his neck, and hauled him around just in time to receive a kick in the face. that had been aimed at Ace's head, knocking the man senseless. Ace let go of him. The man's face bounced off the deck, flattening his nose and stunning him. Chance had his hands full too. His left hand was clamped around the neck of the enemy while his right clenched into a fist and pounded the man's face. But he was taking punishment himself. The other man in the fight hammered punches into Chance's ribs from the side. Knowing that he had only seconds before he would be overwhelmed, Chance twisted his body and rammed both boot heels into the chest of the man hitting him. The man flew backwards and rolled when he landed on the deck. With the odds even now, Chance was able to batter his other foe into submission. That still left the rich man, who didn't like losing. As Ace and Chance looked up from their vanquished enemies, they saw him pointing a pistol at him.
If you think I'm going to allow a couple gutter rats like you two make a fool of me, you're sadly mistaken.
You're not going to shoot us, mister. That would be murder.
No, it wouldn't. Not if I tell the captain the two of you jumped me and tried to rob me. I had to kill you to protect myself. That's exactly what's about to happen here.
Over a blasted watch?
I don't like losing, especially to my inferior.
You'd never get away with it.
Won't I? Why do you think none of the crew has come to see what all the commotion's about? I told the chief steward I'd be dealing with some cheap troublemakers in my own way, and he promised he'd make sure I wasn't interrupted. You see, I'm not involved with just the railroad. I own part of this riverboat line as well.